A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV's podcast 498's After Show. We're here as Tom Julio states, two more wins for Smashbox before you guys have to move up to the MPO 500 division. I don't know if there's anyone else in that division.
There isn't. We'll be playing by ourselves.
Yeah, what's new?
By ourselves.
Yeah.
Different than with.
Oh, so either way. Yeah.
500 episodes. Not a bad.
Oh,
not bad.
Well, some were bad.
Oh, yeah. God, we've had some bad episodes.
Some really bad ones. But nonetheless, there's something to be said, I guess, about just sheer longevity. So, yes, as we creep up on that 500 mark. That puts us 2 weeks out from now. I'm trying to think, April 2nd, so not April Fool's Day, which would somehow seem fitting or appropriate, but it will be on April 2nd, 2 weeks from tonight.
Is there a Pro Tour event that weekend?
No, coincidentally, we're just be wrapping up the Texas States, which you nor I will have anything to do with. I'm hoping to have be just returning from the Throwdown the Mountain. And the following weekend, if my math is right, which it is in this case, is the collegiate event, the collegiate majors, the U.S. Collegiate National Championships is coming up on the 3rd through the 6th. So, I just a regular old weekend, unless we postpone it like one or two or 3 weeks, and then who knows when 500 will come. I mean, it's like Schwebby, like it's, we'll maybe be nervous.
Someone tries to block us. Block our.
Anything could happen. So we'll see. I guess, I don't know. We'll have to figure out if something special can happen or not. Reading off of the board, we'll read a few things that came in from the board as of late. Tim had said, congrats again, Schwebby. Certainly very deserving. Somebody says, I'll take Owen over any disc golf player in a putting contest.
I think if you're talking inside the circle, I think she keeps up with anybody.
Yeah, it's when you get into that circle, medium to long range circle too, where that's when you'd go to a couple of MPO players as a little bit more deadly. And we saw that, I feel like, on the All-Star weekend. That's when you lean into a Ricky Wysocki, a James Proctor. Corey Ellis. That's at those distances when you're talking 50 plus. Not that Owen's not going to do well, but if you're talking 50 to 70 feet, she is not going to be as effective as some of those gentlemen that I just mentioned. But that's nonetheless, it's still a very elite club of overall golfers to be part of. It's just insane. Antala, would you consider him a medium or long range specialist?
No, not particularly. I think he's good as any average MPO player, but I don't think of him, and maybe I'm wrong based on statistics, but I just, in my head, I don't think of him as a circle two specialist.
Yeah, that I think of a Coriolis, an Andrew Marweed, a Gannon Bird. Like those are the names that for sure come to mind ahead of Antola. Not to say he's not great, but.
And I look forward to hopefully soon the PDGA or Statmando, one or the other, getting out kind of our season statistics. Because I know right now we have individual round statistics, but at some point we'll have to start seeing the events, or I'm sorry, the season statistics. So you can look at like, oh, this season, Gannon Burr is your C2 champion, as opposed to having to kind of mentally figure those out. I'm not here complaining about it because I don't feel like it's a huge detriment. But I do think it's something that we should hopefully see in the next couple weeks. Just at that point, you can, you know, everyone wants to start kind of digging into the stats and talking. I'm sure there are people out there right now that want to. Hopefully we'll see him soon. Or if there's a secret site that I can go to, ring a ding ding me.
Ray says, didn't FPO winner beat the MPO competitor during the COVID online world putting competition thing? That may or may not have happened. I don't put as much stock in that. And it clearly could have happened. I don't know if that was an own or a Missy or whoever took that down, or a Heather Young, possibly.
Might have been Heather Young.
But even if so, that to me isn't enough of a sample size.
But we did see.
Largely because you're seeing them play in different conditions, two different places around the country on different days. And I don't know. A lot of that doesn't.
I'm fairly certain last year at the All-Star, we saw Alexis Mondejano get a better score than all the men.
I don't know that we did. I feel like last year she had a great score that didn't hold up. Maybe she did. I don't remember.
I thought it wasn't this year. I know that, but I thought that last year, I thought it was Alexis that had a better score than
she might've
all the MPO. But again, that could just be me being dumb. Which is not uncommon.
No, you in fact, you're really good at it.
I'm the best.
All right. Totally unrelated news. Both of our children had varying competitive events this weekend. I'll lead. My daughter was in a volleyball tournament, a women's club volleyball tournament. They started out a little slow. They struggled. I think they lost their first two games, which then puts them in a certain bracket and then has them moving on to the next day in different times, different brackets, so on and so forth. They got things together a little bit during day two, but I don't know where they actually finished. I know they wouldn't have been in a quote unquote champions bracket of sorts because they started by losing their first two games. And just the experience. I know this sounds silly to some, but because of my travels, I obviously have missed a considerable amount of things, but going to Green Bay, which is a place not far from where Johnny and I grew up, obviously we're literally like, I was parking in the Green Bay Packers parking lot to go into the Resch Expo Center where the tournament was. And to go in and see a tournament of this nature and this caliber and the size, there's always parallels that you draw, that I draw to disc golf, in that I've been going to disc golf tournaments for 30 plus years. And to see so many people and then the parents and everything that goes along with all of the sporting activities. I've been to some other tournaments, but this was a really big one. This is like the biggest tournament going on in the state by far, with the most amount of competitors from all over, from all these different club teams. It's just always a very enlightening and interesting experience to see what's going down, how tournaments, the things they concern themselves with, everything from parking and entry to concessions and everything in between. And then what you compare that to when you go to tournaments these days. And then obviously the output from the support, whether it's from family or friends or parents or whomever, and everything that goes into the economy of this. And I think like this volleyball tournament that host hundreds of girls and dozens of teams from all over the state and the Midwest, just the overall economic impact and how that still is a hundredfold of what a tournament brings in for a disc golf tournament. Yeah. And I know a lot of times we go to some cities and they think, man, how did they not know this is happening in our city? Or how did they not know or recognize, or wouldn't it be cool if that was on a billboard? disc golf is still in a lot of ways, even though they're earning more money.
It brings in, I mean, 150 competitors, and we'll just say maybe if you're lucky, a thousand or two
spectators.
Well, even that, a thousand or two, I wouldn't even say it brings them in. Most of those are probably already locals. I bet you it brings in, we'll say, a third of that from outside of the general area.
Yeah. So it's for those reasons, some of that's very enlightening. And you're talking about people that are coming in for multiple nights of hotels, plus they're all eating there, and just the overall economic impact that it is. And those are happening every single year, regardless of the weather, all these other things. So that's how I always, I don't know, that's one thing that I put in perspective when I look at tournaments. And then what does it mean when people often say, like, this is happening in this city, and how is this not recognized or more praised or a bigger deal? One softball tournament, one baseball tournament, one volleyball tournament probably has more impact to a local community than most disc golf tournaments do, even at the highest of levels. Yeah. So that's just a little perspective for, I think, people to kind of keep in mind when you think about what we're doing. And that's not to downplay disc golf. It's just to provide some
perspective.
And then the event in which you attended.
Yeah.
Of even much more larger proportions. Are you talking, were there thousands of kids or teams or what was there?
I would say close to 1,000. There were 50 some teams. Each team is anywhere from 15 to 50 kids, depending on the size of the school. My actually, Franklin, who's just south of us, I think their team is almost 70 players.
Damn.
And they rented out the Wisconsin Center, which is where our it's our smaller arena, and I would say we filled up about a solid third to almost not quite a half of it.
Okay.
And it's amazing. Like, I didn't realize how exciting it was. So this is a robotics competition. It's from FIRST, FIRST, which I have no clue what it stands for, but it's more or less every year they have a competition or a set of rules that these robots have to do. And this year you get paired with two other teams randomly each round. And then I think it all kind of breaks down. Each team does their own scouting of the other teams to kind of keep track of which teams are good, which ones are bad. You can obviously look at it by their overall win-loss record, but that's only, I mean, imagine you show up to the disc golf course and you get paired up with two randos. You might lose, even if you're a great player, that you might win, even though you're not a great player. There were, like I said, I think 90 qualifying matches total. Each qualifying match was about, I think it's 3 minutes long. And then there's probably about a 5 to 7 minute break. It was two full days. We show up on the first day, and my son's robot, and I'm going to maximize this a little. So let's see here. I'm going to show it. So basically these robots, maybe I grabbed, oh, there it goes. Pops in I'm going to mute it here. The robots have to pick up these little round rings and then throw them into their end caps, or there's one little spot. It starts out with 20 seconds or so of autonomous, where the players can't control them. They have to do it automatically, the robots. They program it. And then you grab a controller. Some teams have like flight sticks. Some use Xbox controllers to drive these things around. Well, day one, we show up and our robot's broken. Somehow,
somebody got in last night.
Somebody got in. The thing that was picking up those rings wasn't picking it up, and they couldn't figure out. So the whole first day, the robot wouldn't work, more or less. It would drive around. So they took a different strategy, which was amazing. They played defense. All they did, like, this is that middle, this middle red robot is ours, 4786, and it just went around and blocked the other robots. And so that was their strategy, was to try to block.
Could they earn any points that way?
No, they don't, which is unfortunate. So
so the best you could do is negate somebody else.
But after all the qualifying rounds, and I learned all this kind of the day of, it's, you get into the finals, and it ended up that our team was 15th, ranked 15th. They take the top eight teams, and then it's like a free agent draft. well, all these teams have been scouting everybody and they see that we haven't been scoring points. Mm. And it's really weird. So you'd think if you have eight teams, you just start picking free agents. But no, team one can turn to team two and say, hey, you want to join our team? And the team two can say yes, or they can say, no, we're going to create our own team.
Mm.
It was really fun because the top qualified team asked two other teams in the top eight whether they wanted to join them. Both of them turned them down. It gets to Marquette. Marquette picks a really good team. Marquette is another Milwaukee school. Yep. Picks McGuanago, who was an awesome team, in their first round. And then their second round, they end up picking our team. And we're friends kind of with a lot of the Marquette guys because they're all the alliances. And so what our team, even though day two, our robot was working, we decided we were going to continue to play defense because there was one of their robots on the strongest team that was putting up like 100 points a round as opposed to like 60, 70 that everybody else was, that had to get really close and fire it. So we knew that if we just blocked that robot, they couldn't score. So we were playing total dicks. Like,
yeah,
it was so much fun. And
talking about ring blockers.
Yeah. And we ended up going undefeated in the playoffs with the two teams that we were matched, which I think was like the sixth rank. We were the 15th technically ranked. And then I think they were like the 12th ranked. Went undefeated and won the event. So the kids now have an invite to Houston in mid-April.
Okay.
To go to the World Championships. Not only that, but they won an award that covered
their
entry fee to Worlds.
Damn.
So that was a $5,000 scholarship from NASA that covered their entry fee. Now they still have to raise a bunch of money because I think it's going to run them about $40,000 to $50,000 to get everything down there with all the kids that they want to take and the nights and hotels and flights. I mean, because the team, like I said, is 50 deep. They'll probably hopefully take about 20 to 30 kids. They'll leave 15 to 20 here at what they call Command Central,
which means you get left home.
It's a lot of the programming kids because sure. The programming's done already. You don't really need to update that. You really want your pit crew, which is what my son does, your drivers, your scouting team. That's keeping track of all these other teams. It was really fun. It was amazing. We got to sit right next to the Marquette, which happened to be the team that picked us. And like I said, we already know some of the kids back and forth because Marquette's a private school. So a lot of these kids have come from the schools that are in the nearby area. So we knew some of the teammates and it was just all around super exciting and a lot of fun. And to see all these kids put forth like months and months of work to actually make it to the World Championships.
So the only cool payoff question I have, can you and your kid finally find a way to beat Joe Revere? Is this a possibility now?
So here's what I looked up. I looked up Joe Revere. Joe Revere does middle school, which is 6 through 8, which is a slightly different style of competition.
Okay.
So it's like a different league. It's a league for younger kids. But he'd
still beat you guys?
No, I think we crush him. We crush him.
All right.
But yeah, so overall, great weekend for, it's funny because these matches are about 3 minutes long and then you've got like 45 minutes of downtime before your next match. So I would pull up I would sit and watch the pro tour event.
Oh, sure.
Sit in the stands, watch the pro tour event.
And then Gannon still wouldn't putt. And then you'd be like, oh, this is
and then
he started right when his match started.
And then they would go back and kind of get back into it. And it was a real blast. And I'm excited. Hopefully my kid's going to volunteer to go to Houston because you have to like opt in and we'll get him down there. And I don't think I will go personally.
I was going to say that's middle of April,
which there's really nothing going on particularly pro tour wise for me at least.
Yeah. I mean, we go from collegiates. Then the next weekend is Jonesboro Open. And then there's a weekend off from the pro tour officially. And then there's at the end of April will be the Champions Cup in Illinois. So April, relatively speaking, is somewhat light in that sense.
So I'll send my wife down. I told her she should probably go down to Houston with the team and hang out, and I'll stay here for a few days and watch online as it streams and scream at the TV and whatnot. So really exciting. I was super proud of all the kids, and it's amazing how big their team is because they don't just have a robotics team. Like I said, they've got a scouting team, they've got a promotions team, they've got a fundraising team. They've got like a president, they've got a communications team. It's every like everything you can think of for a business, they have a mini team for it to do something like that for fundraising and
building great life skills and
building a web
business skills and such.
Yeah, they've got a team that just works on the website to update it to make sure they keep people in charge. A social media team that takes pictures and posts them on their website. Yeah, they're literally teaching these kids
all the facets
of a business and life skills in general, which I enjoy quite a bit, and I can't complain. I have no clue what my kid will do for college, if he'll go or when he'll go or where he'll go, but my understanding is a lot of private schools that can negotiate their tuition really look for something like this.
And makes sense.
My boss said his son did 1 year of this, and I think when he was a sophomore, and more or less he went to somewhere in Cincinnati, and they were like, cool, we'll knock 10,000 off his scholarship each year, or for a scholarship, we'll knock 10,000 off. And he's like, really? The kid did it 1 year. And they're like, we don't care.
Yeah. If it's that valuable and they're learning so much, that makes sense. I love it.
Yep. So fun stuff. Excited. Keep
it up. So with that, as somebody said on our chat, I've never been, and I think it's relatively new, is the whatever they have for the BattleBots or whatever in Vegas.
I know it used to be a TV show, but I don't know if they still do things.
No, there's a whole thing in Vegas, and I've yet to go in there.
Oh, cool.
Live from BattleBots Arena in Las Vegas. I've gone by the arena countless times, and I was just going to look, and it looks like, okay, so multiple times a day, I'm seeing like Saturday at 2:30 p.m. and then another one at 6:30 and so on and so forth. I've wanted to go in there since seeing this go up. I feel like this is relatively new in Vegas. I don't know when it will.
Can you gamble on it? I mean, it's
one
Vegas.
Way or another, right? I'm sure that you can. Somebody could probably update me, but anyway, it's definitely something I want to go check out at some point. So now I'm even more interested. Flamingo. Yeah, not far from the Westin. Okay. I was just trying to look exactly where it was. Okay. Makes sense. Anyway, something that looks like it would be pretty cool to check out. Side note, I saw that they're closing Margaritaville, which you've never been to Vegas, nor would you care. But I think that was just posted today that they're closing Margaritaville right there on the strip.
RIP Jimmy Buffett.
Which has been... I think they said it's been there 20 some years. There's a big chair in front that I know tons of people go take pictures. Which at the same time, I usually kind of meander through there as you're walking down the strip. It's an easy place to go in, especially if it's cold out. It's an easy place to go in, and it's a long way to walk over there to the Flamingo. It's rarely busy in there, and maybe I'm just there on the wrong times, but something doesn't surprise me about that, that maybe it's a little bit dated and or doesn't quite hit. I don't know if it doesn't hit a demographic or if it's just not a cool place to be anymore, but it is often dead in there. And if you've experienced otherwise, I'd love to hear it, because every time I go through there, it's dead. I feel like this is definitely a tangent to that. One of the things you rarely do see happening, if anything's going on in there, is people playing beer pong. Beer pong's fine and great and dandy and all, but I've said this before, beer pong in public places, like at a shared bar with tens of thousands of people going through on any given week,
feels gross.
Feels just really gross. And call me like an old fuddy-duddy,
your
grandpa, boomer, whatever you want to attach to me. Just the idea of throwing a ball that goes in the drink that then goes on the floor of a place in Vegas, then gets picked up and then thrown in.
The alcohol kills the germs,
yeah,
Terry.
Yeah.
And here's what. I'm guessing because it's Vegas. I would
never do that in Vegas.
There's a lot worse things that you...
I haven't found any, but I bet you there are. I agree with that. It's funny when you see it get played in a few of the spaces that are in Vegas bars. It just always surprises me because it, quite frankly, just the idea of watching it get played disgusts me. If you want to play the game, I don't care. And most places it gets played is probably disgusting if you really think about it, but a shared open bar space on the, ugh. Anyway, moving on from that. There's other drinking games I have to participate in before that one.
I've never been a fan of drinking games because I don't drink beer. So
let me get one with a bunch of hands and ping pong balls off the floor into this beer for you. It'll be better. I promise.
Any And playing drinking games with other alcohol just is a recipe for disaster.
I don't know. I heard there's going to be something going down at Austin Beer Works this weekend.
Ooh.
Well, if there's not, we're going to make something happen.
I'm sure you could.
It will be great. This weekend we'll have a slightly different, obviously, it's just the FPO division that we're featuring on the live broadcast. Just in general, all the focus will be on the FPO division and
one round a day,
And it won't be at 9 a.m. roughly, you know, we're talking like
2:30,
yeah, something like that. In that neighborhood. So for a lot of reasons, this weekend is going to have a different feel and vibe, as the kids say, to what's going on. So looking forward to it. All the focus on FPO and the women's division.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Somebody had asked me a few weeks ago as to the network specifically, if the network was going to then be covering or featuring or broadcasting or post-producing any other divisions. And the short answer that I'm 99% certain of is no. It's a fair question, but if there's any post-production recap shows, daily this or any other things of that nature, that would be more so coordinated from the PDGA specifically.
Yeah. Do you know if the PDGA has any?
That's exactly.
Maybe what we can talk to Ace Run.
Ace Run is out on the board.
Oh, he says USWDGC is one of our favorites of the year. We wish we could be there for it, which makes me believe that they're not going to be there for it. Yeah, because I could see an FP40 division. I could see, you know, FA1 division, something along those lines. But
juniors, I mean,
well, those are the juniors. I can't imagine covering a juniors one just because the length of the course, the how long it takes some of the players, and just the absolute, like, they're for the most part too young to make a name for themselves. Some of the junior, some of the FA1s, those are your up and coming FPO players. Your FP40 are obviously usually your previous FPO.
FP40, yeah.
No, I'm saying the FP40 is your previous FPO competitors that have names and stuff, a little name recognition. So I don't know. I hope we maybe see some other coverage of some sort from through the PDGA. But you're right. As far as FPO goes, it'll be strictly pro tour. You'll definitely get lead card. My guess is you'll probably get some chase card as well that we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I don't know if they're going to be doing. Are they going to do featured holes again?
Yes, this
is good because it's a major.
I think we're going to see, if I understood from my production call earlier today, I don't want to overpromise, but I don't know.
Overpromise,
if it's 16, 17, and 18, or if it's 17 and 18, we'll have dedicated feature hole broadcast as well. So that will be really cool, which also gives us the opportunity that when something happens, and it might not be from someone that's on a featured card, but an incredible shot happens or something dramatic happens on one of those two final holes, that's just two more cameras or three more cameras that are in position to capture it. I don't know what holes 16, 17, or 18 look like specifically at this course, but if anything extraordinary or noteworthy happens, it's cool to say, hey, we've got two or three more holes that are going to be covered and could potentially be capturing that particular shot. So Ace Run is saying last year we covered juniors and FP40. So
awesome.
Unfortunately, we will not be there. I'm going to continue to read from Ace Run on the board. We will not be there to do so this year. And as far as we know, the PDJ will not have additional coverage from others.
Bummer.
Other than some highlights of content. So that's always a question is like, where do resources get allocated, financial and just flat out manpower? People like Ace Run, for instance, and your gatekeepers and your GK pros and all of those types, all of these channels that are like our players on the grind and on the tour and touring around and capturing a ton of events, some exclusively with the network or with the pro tour, but then also occasionally jump off to go capture other A tiers or regional mm-hmm. events. At some point, you just run out of quote unquote manpower to cover every single weekend of golf. And that's a very real challenge. And I think a lot of people forget about that and don't realize like, hey, some of these camera crews would like to have a life of their own and maybe not work literally every single weekend. I mean, it felt very weird for me not to be part of any disc golf this last mm-hmm. weekend. So I know exactly what that feels like. So, and I guess we'll see what the media plan is. I'll know more 24 hours from now. That much I can say.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's any local Texas post-production coverage teams. And obviously not Jomez. That was what I was kind of hoping, like, oh, maybe there's a production company that could cover FP40. But if there's not, and that's what we have to
maybe I should double up. What do you think?
I mean,
maybe in the mornings, if they're early enough, I go out, cover FP40 and then jump in the booth for FPO.
You could.
I kind of feel like a slacker, so I'm not doing that.
You should.
I'll bring some cameras, though. Anything could happen.
I'm sure you would.
Yeah. We could have one whole feature card cover.
I think just final round stuff would be fine. Like wait until you see personally for your page. We'll say, wait and see if there's a competition in FP40. If someone's out by 12 strokes going into the final round and it's not competitive, there's no point really in covering it. Now, if it's competitive, you go in like, oh, someone's only up by two. That might be a competitive round. I could film and I'd put it out there. That is something, again, that's assuming that it were to happen like in the morning and before your call times and whatnot. I don't know. It's not my dime, so I'm not going to tell someone how they should spend it.
Good call.
I mean, I will, but
Ray asks, have you made your picks for the NCAA tournament? Wisconsin is going to lose to James Madison first round, I think.
No, they're not. I don't know, though. I don't know either team. I mean, I know Wisconsin, but they're an okay team. I'm just going to say, no, they're not.
No,
I don't think they will. Yeah, it's a 5-12.
Yeah, we just got straight up rep Wisconsin here. No, Johnny nor I are NCAA
but
aficionados.
Someone's going to
college basketball or football.
I should keep my mouth shut, but I'm not going to.
Great.
Here's my idea, Terry.
Oh, this should be a doozy.
And I think it's not a bad idea. And I was thinking about this last week because I was like, oh, when's March Madness? I haven't filled out a bracket in a few years because, again, the way I fill out brackets, I pretty much take all chalk and then I pick one 5-12 upset. Mm-hmm. I pick like two 5-12 upsets, one like 4-13 upset, and like just basically do that. And I randomly do it. I don't know enough about college basketball, nor do I care. But here's my idea. Disc golf bracket. What if you started at Texas and you picked, we'll just say the top 32, you picked the 32 players, and this could be a little difficult, but 32 players from MPO, we'll say, and you just created two brackets and you put whoever you think is the first ranked player, we could go by the PDGA, and you put them against the 32nd, or we'll say the 16th, because it's two 16 brackets, and you did it round by round. So first round, maybe Gannon goes up against Zach Melton. I don't know. Okay. Whoever scores the best that round moves on. You're going to have some upsets because occasionally you're going to see a player who's maybe ranked 15th shoot better than Gannon one round, and Gannon's eliminated, and it rolls through maybe two events. You go through Texas because there's only three rounds, and maybe you roll it into one other event.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the next
Texas again.
Yay. That was my idea, was kind of having something like that, a bracket where you put players in. The difficult part is you have to pick players that are going to be at two events in a row.
Mm.
Because you don't want, let's just say, we know Chris Dickerson isn't going to be a Houston, even though he's maybe, we'll say, the 12th ranked player in the world right now. You'd have to leave him out because he's not going to be at Houston. So you can't have, you know, I mean, you could have a default and like, oh, guess what? You got Chris Dickerson. Everyone's going to pick him to lose. But you have to find, we'll just say 32 players are going to be at both events. And you do it literally round by round. And you just pair them up and you find some website that does bracketing and you manually fill in. I think it's kind of a fun idea.
Check out fantasydiscgolfbrackets.com where I have this all set up.
Tell me, people, I'm on the board. Good idea, bad idea, mediocre idea.
Ray says Steve Dodge is loving this, and right now we know that
if Steve Dodge is probably like, ding, 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 he's got a whole formula figured out, and
that's possible.
He's going to look at like, well, their rating is this, and we have to give them this many strokes. So you have to figure this. Like, he's going to make it more difficult than just
it needs to be.
Than just straight up numbers. But that was my idea for like a March Madness bracket for disc golf, just straight up players, straight up rounds.
Mm.
Second round. You know, whoever's going to get it, whoever's going to, you, it could be total upset. You could go chalk. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it clearly could be an upset. It's just funny because it's of no. Yeah. Okay. Sure. There's an idea there. Somebody run with it. You could become a hundred penny in
there. There's no, I was going to say, I don't know how you would even collect money on that. Most of these sites are
charge
free
for the bracket.
Charge for the bracket, charge to pay for it. Ray says it sounds kind of cool. It would be, I think it'd be worth trying just to see how it would go. If I was clever, I would have thought of it before Waco and done it Waco and Austin, because most people played both of those rounds, but I didn't think of it back then because I wasn't thinking of March Madness.
Just gotta get smarter.
So, Tim Courts asks, so is Brian going to pick Chris to win this weekend? Brian Earhart infamously this weekend picked Ricky Wysocki to win.
Or to be a podium contender or maybe, to win, maybe?
I think it was a win. But what Brian neglected to know was that Ricky wasn't playing this weekend. So understandably, Brian took some heat for it a little bit on the internet. Nothing Brian can't take, and a lot of people got a funny joke out of it. There were some people that got way more upset about it than I feel like they should have. Like, how do you not know? This is just blah, 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 whatever. You know, you could easily turn around and say, well, guess what? Brian thought this is a perfect course for Ricky's style of golf. Way to go.
Yeah.
And Ansel is lucky Ricky wasn't there to win.
Yeah, somebody just asked, how much could you win? I mean, like I said, hundreds of pennies.
How much could I win? Probably zero. It depends on how many people joined in, how much you charge, how much you pay out, things like that. I don't know.
Winner take all.
Winner, take all dinner. And then what you'd put each round. I'm not even very great at brackets in general. I would, again, I have to figure out. I know you just did a bracket thing a couple years ago. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't
know. Somebody smarter's got to run with
somebody
this idea.
Smarter. Like
you're welcome for Johnny V's idea.
It's my just
go
idea.
Ahead and run with it.
I'm not going to be offended if you take it and run with it. Somebody.
On the way here tonight, and this is as random as they get, I realize.
Okay, I love it. I love it. Bring it on.
On the way here tonight, I thought, who was the writer that came up with the line? That's what she said, and not necessarily do I want to know that person's name. But what do they think of that line now? And you could say that of probably of any.
That's got to be 50 years old. I mean, it's popularized by The Office.
Correct. But. So that's what I wonder. And I didn't get as far as Googling it as Johnny's about to. And do they roll their eyes at that because they're so sick of it? Well, Johnny V is on it because he went again. This was a driving thought, so I didn't bother Googling it. Wow. In America, the earliest documented case of the phrase appears in 1975 episode of Saturday Night Live. In particular, it was Chevy Chase using the joke during Weekend Update on the show's first season. It was first popular to use, use in Wayne's World. Oh, sketches and later the movie. And then it goes all the way back. Twist of the joke, British phrase. More than a century, 1901 to 1910.
There was a line that was, as an actress says to the bishop, in reference to actresses whose companies could be purchased after performances, confessing their sins to the clergyman. It was used in the same way as That's What She Said, highlighting an unintended double entendre. So it's a very old joke, again, clearly re-brought up and popularized by The Office, because Michael Scott would say it all the time. So I don't think there's I don't think you can really track it.
No, it doesn't. I mean, obviously, that seems like a pretty good history or origin of it.
Thanks, Google.
God, man, that Google, I'm going to look into it once in a while.
You should.
Other side note, my daughter is one of my daughters is turning 13 in a couple days.
Yeah.
She's going with a friend on spring break, which is great. My other daughter is going to London with a school trip. I think I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Excited for her. What I'm surprised about is they leave on Sunday, this upcoming Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They return on the following Saturday, and they are taking a direct flight from Chicago.
So it's basically a 5-day visit.
Yeah. And, but then you think of obviously, you know, the first day that you get there, I think they arrive in the morning, what will be morning on Monday morning. And then obviously on the way back, you're going to gain some time. Just kind of surprised me that over a spring break time frame, they'd leave as late as a Sunday. After spring break has already started, arguably on Friday or Saturday, and that they're coming back on that
Wednesday
on
for
that
us.
Following Saturday. So I'm kind of surprised by that, but I am really excited. She's obviously a little bit nervous. One of the things we did today, because we are hearing so much that they've moved largely to cashless over there, is that we got her I signed up for a joint bank account is acting as a debit account. Or is it strictly as a checking account?
She has an iPhone, right?
She does.
Let's load her up with some Apple Pay.
I'm not giving her money. I honestly, it's funny. A, I wouldn't even know how to do that. And B, could I do that from an Android phone?
I don't
how
know.
How does Apple Pay get funded?
Where does
it come from?
I don't know. I sent it to my
bank account?
You can, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm not doing that.
I mean, you can set them up with a certain amount of money. You can send them Apple Cash. You could probably literally go to a store, Terry, buy an Apple credit card, like, we'll say, like a gift card, a $20 card, and then she would just scan it into her phone so that she had $20.
Now, so my follow-up, and if it's not obvious, guys, I'm not in the Apple ecosystem, as Johnny V is. I'm always been in Android. When is Apple Pay going to be as accepted as Visa and MasterCard?
It is.
I mean, like, is it assumed, though? Because I know, like, Google Pay or Samsung Pay and all these different solutions, I use my Google Wallet, and I have cards stored in there, which I understand
is very similar. If you can use your Google, you can use your Apple, because it's the same touch NFC, touch to pay. They take all the credit cards. So it is...
But just because they take credit card doesn't necessarily mean that they take Apple and Google.
Correct. There are some places.
That was my main concern.
There are some places that, like, I know my grocery store doesn't have the Pick and Save down the road doesn't have the touch, but our Sendix does, which is Sendix is a small grocery / gas station store up the road. Pick and Save is a bigger grocery store. They don't have it at their checkouts. But any place that takes your tap to pay will take iPhone, Apple, Google Pay. They'll take it all, because it's all done the same NFC.
But I don't think that necessarily the store accepts them. I understand that the technology is the same and that they could, but I've had times where they wouldn't take a Google Pay, and I'm sitting there wondering why.
Sure.
And it's because they haven't set themselves up for
that. Could be.
And to be fair, I think if we actually rewind probably a few hundred episodes, there's been times when they say they couldn't. And I think they could. It was an operator error.
They just didn't know.
Which is very frustrating. And I think we're getting past that now. But that was very frustrating for a very long time. Oh, we don't accept that. And then oftentimes you could say, well, let me try. And then you put it up there and it goes through. They're like, oh, I didn't know that worked that way. That's happened more than a dozen times.
Yeah. When my son went to D.C. last year for their 8th grade trip, that's when I loaded him up with like $50 with Apple Pay. I said, here, $50. If you need more, just text me and I can just send it to him via a text message. It comes right off my credit card. or I think I can set it right to like a debit card or whatever, but I can just send him money via Apple Pay and then it reloads his thing. It's like a set credit card. So that's what I did for him. In fact, this past weekend at the arena, each student was given, I think, a $20 food credit for the arena. Like that was that part of their budget of fundraising and whatnot. So they went to the arena and he spent his whatever $8 to $10 the first day and then dropped his card wherever he was sitting. So the next day, Sunday, he's like, I don't have my card. And I said, cool. Well, just I think you have like $20 or whatever on Apple Pay left that he's had forever. I said, just tap it. I know it works. I've been to that arena a dozen times. Thankfully, he got to the arena and someone handed him his card, said, hey, I found this under the seat where you were sitting yesterday. So here it is. And then he was able to use it. So
after
So here's the empty card back. And so thankfully, but again, we'll look and see if you can. I don't think you can send Apple Pay, but like I said, go to a store, buy an Apple Pay card.
Well, that sounds like a bunch of work.
How much ever it's worth, and then hand it to her. And once she has it, then you know you could.
Now she has a debit card attached, and that'll work the same
to her iPhone.
Yes.
Oh, good. Yeah, that should work.
Which is funny because we had to call in.
But I would have her keep the debit card in case it doesn't take.
Correct. Yeah. And so we literally left the bank. They handed her the debit card. We called in because she wanted to set up on our Apple Pay. Mm. And she called in and somehow the bank got involved and said, we need to confirm a few things. What was your last transaction or what was your last check written? My daughter's like, we set up the account 9 minutes ago. And he's like, okay, can you tell us the last withdrawal amount? And she again was like, we set up the account 9 minutes ago. There's been no withdrawals. We literally just got this account. It was 12 extra minutes of a lot of pausing, I think, where this guy was short circuiting as to how in the world we got it to work. But it sounds like it worked. So nonetheless, she'll... The question that remains is, what do foreign transaction fees look like? And is it going to be assumed that they're like that 2.9 or 2.8% or whatever it is, including your Apple Pay, which I bet you they would be.
Because
that's what most credit and debit cards are. So you would assume there's going to be a foreign transaction fee attached to a Google Wallet.
Maybe. I don't know.
Apple Pay.
I don't know. You can Google that, Terry. Patreon.com/SmashboxTV is where you can support us every single week. You can listen to Terry and I banter about this silly stuff. This week, Terry,
my daughter needs money for London. Please pay.
My son needs money for Houston to go to a robotics competition.
We're trying to get rid of our kids.
So help us make that support happen. There are 134 people eligible for our giveaway this week, Terry, and I have random.com open. So let's draw a number. What do you want to draw?
Have random.com open. We're in trouble.
No, it's random.org.
Okay. Whoa. Cause random.com, don't go there, folks.
I kind of want to go there now, but I'm not going to.
Don't put on your ad blocker, put on your firewall, and then.
I removed my ad blocker. No, I'm sorry.
All right. Yes. And funny enough, our winner from last week, I sent him an email and said, hey, let's get something on. He goes, holy shit, I won. I finally won. You did. And of course, it was a week he wasn't actively watching.
Oh, wow.
So I feel bad that I kind of spoiled the surprise for him. But yes, he was excited that he won and he sent me his address. So excited to make it happen. All right. Well, I say, let's use a, we'll pull from a number from tonight in Schwebe's 400. Let's
zero.
let's trim that down by a magnitude of 100 and pick the fourth number.
Magnitude?
Oh, well, either way. Right? Is that the right word? Derivative? Magnitude. We'll trim it down by a magnitude of 100. Reduce it by a magnitude of 100. 400 reduced by a magnitude of 100 would be 4.
Is
Am I saying that right?
I don't know.
You got the science robotics kid. Come on, smarty.
Yeah, but that's not me.
Somebody tell me I did that right.
We'll take the fourth one. So our very first number is 81. Our second number is 99. Our third number is 117. And our fourth and final number
458.
58. So let me grab 58. I sorted them by email address. No, I sorted by first name. I lied.
I know you could divide by 100.
58. 58 is Jeremy Davis.
That's a new name as well.
Jeremy Davis. Congratulations, Jeremy Davis. He has been a Patreon supporter since February of 2022.
Heck yeah.
So thank you very much.
Anniversary.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. We'll reach out to you with, I've already got your address. So I'll put that in our, wonderful little email to Terry Miller and out of Illinois.
Yeah. We'll see if we can confirm that's in fact the right address, and we'll get that sent out to you.
Cool. Thanks a lot, Jeremy.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Oh, speaking of, well, this is kind of sort of almost in the realm of Illinois.
Probably not.
Since a lot of players come from there. I'm waiting on a final confirmation. I know I touched on this last week, but I'm waiting on a final confirmation from the Parks Department about the Skyline Classic, maybe or maybe not taking place. I'm understandably getting asked questions by players, by our organizing committee within Wisconsin, by a t-shirt printer within Wisconsin. All very fair and valid. I've continued to tell everybody that I'm on the fence, but even more importantly, that decision might not even be in my hands. I'm waiting on the Parks Department to get back to me to confirm if we can, in fact, be settled on a date or not. So I just wanted to give that an update. I know plenty of you, especially if you're in Illinois, and a lot of you come up and play in the event, and I appreciate all of you. There's a very valid possibility or a very real possibility the event goes on hiatus for 1 year, because I hate the idea of making the final announcement so late that it frustrates you. But I'm waiting. It's legitimately just a waiting game right now. And I know that sucks because I wish this was ironed out a couple months ago, but at that time I didn't have my schedule for the year. I'm sorry you're frustrated, because some of you are, and I don't blame you, but I can only do what I can do. So Skyline Classic is still officially in limbo, is really the long and short of that.
Ace Run says number one will never be pulled. We have accepted our fate. And then I said, well, they're not number one.
Yeah.
Somebody has their name as hashtag Eli. Mm. So hashtag Eli is number one.
And that only matters
when I sort it by first name.
Yeah. When you sort it by first name. So
if I sort it by email address,
by good looks, you guys.
Yeah. Oh, if I sort it by email address, they're number two still.
Ah, yeah, because somebody has a number
as the first
email.
Yeah,
and if you sort it by looks, they're
they're
top of our list,
very high up there. Yeah,
on the top of our list.
I always like watching the pro tour and then seeing Felix behind the camera.
Yeah,
he's been there for a few weeks.
You don't like seeing him in front of the camera?
Anyway, let's talk about awkward. Ouch, no, gosh, they are so much our buddies.
We don't normally go here. Dare I say, is there a bold FPO prediction for this weekend from you?
No, there's not a bold prediction. There's a very boring prediction. I think Kristen Tatar will win this. If it's five rounds... Is it four rounds?
If it's five
rounds, then she's definitely
one of them is not getting covered.
Four rounds, I think Kristen Tatar wins this. I think just the statistics bear it out that she will the cream will rise to the top. I feel like Kristen Tatar will probably take this in. She will more than likely get her focus set for this major, which I'm sure they're all amped up for. They're all ready for. But I just can't see anyone else taking this other than Kristen at this point. Oh. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if Owen won, but just everything in my gut says KT.
And there's lots of other viable potential winners.
Yeah, there's no.
But you're saying.
No, there's like three other viable potential winners.
So Evelina, Hannah.
No.
Haley King.
Yes, Haley King.
Missy Gannon.
Yeah, it's not a super long course, so I'll take Missy. Ella Hansen could
Colin
win.
Hanley.
Colin,
Valerie,
yes.
Mundahano?
No.
Okay.
Just the way Valerie has been playing lately. She doesn't look like it would surprise me if she won. I think she's a very solid player, but based on how she's played the last few weeks, I she's just not at the level right now of the other women. So I hope she gets up there, because the more women that are at the top of the field competing for a win, the better our sport is and the more exciting the FPO field is. But you can look right now that there is a clear division line, but like the top five or six women. Everybody else, it's hard to see them competing.
Okay. This is a very minor side note, but I would love if PDGA, if you could go to pdga.com/USWDGC, you can, but it only brings you to 2021. I'd love to have that redirect to the current year. Because I know if I type in...
Someone has to update their DNS records.
Type in 2024. If you type in pdga.com/2024 USWDGC, it'll get you to the correct spot. So maybe I just need to redo my brain. But if you type in USDGC, it kind of randomly brings you to 2021 USWDGC, where I wish it would just go to whatever the current year is. Anyway, tons of information is out there, though. Your caddy books, your tee times. Will, here's maybe a good one.
Okay.
With different tee times than normal, or we just talked about the women generally being pushed back and starting later than they're used to for most of the year. Yep.
Most of the women tee off at 9:30.
Will we, or by 9:30, yep. Will we see any woman not be there 5 minutes ahead of time and get stroked as... Holly Finley did this last weekend. Will we see any woman make that error this weekend?
I'm going to go with no. Okay. I don't think we're going to see one this week. I'm hoping we don't.
All right. What's the board think? What would the over under on that be? What does the board think as to if we will see any? And again, I'm throwing in the uniqueness of this weekend in particular because just tee times are different than normal. They're much more spread out, and there's a lot more women. We have 103 women, I think, in the FPO division. Will we see anyone show up late? Late per the 5 minute rule, blah 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 blah, so on and so forth.
Yeah. So GPO Studio says big field bound to happen. It's possible. I
of any event, this seems like a prime candidate for that bet, doesn't it? More so than a regular event because it's out of the norm. There's way more women. No,
nah. I think I asked maybe this last week. If you had to pick a number on how many more of these penalties we'll see the rest of the season, so say from USWDGC through USDGC, because I don't think the Pro Tour finale would count because it's not sanctioned, but I'm sure they probably still would put it there, but I'm not going to count them. So through USDGC, how many more of these penalties are we going to see this year? If I told you the number was 3.5, would you go over or under that?
I hate to say it. I think I'd go over.
Over.
I really do think we're going to continue to see more.
GPO Studio says 4 to 7 more this year. That's the over. Oh, Ace Run went with the over under a 5. I went with 5. I went with a half number. So, because if it was 5, that you wouldn't hit on that. But
I think just inadvertently losing track of time, forgetting to check in, I think those things will. I think they'll happen still. Man,
if I told you, and I know, and again, I'm this doesn't count, but if I said, it doesn't count if they miss hole one. Like if you're just flat out late.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring to.
Yeah,
like people getting the 2-stroke penalty.
Yeah, no. Here's a better way to put it. How many people are going to get the 2-stroke penalty? Because not like, hey, I missed hole one because I had a, you know, I got into a traffic jam, so I took a 4-stroke penalty on hole one. You don't get the 2-stroke penalty.
No, correct.
No. How many people are going to get the 2-stroke penalty?
I think 4. I think still over on 4.
Over. Okay.
Yeah, I do. Because missing your tee time isn't that common. We've seen that throughout the
correct.
Years.
Correct. Yeah.
Straight up missing your tee time and then arriving on hole 2. Very, very. It's obviously has happened, but that's very rare. Mm-hmm. That's happened maybe less times than we've already seen people show up late by a couple minutes this year or a couple seconds or whatever it is. So I think people are going to get caught up. I think people are just going to just inadvertently lose track of time and their space and not realize that they maybe haven't done it yet. Now, this is going to also come back to the enforcement and how rigid the starters are.
They were,
and they've clearly been rigid. So far proven that they're on top of
As Holly Finley said, she was 30 seconds late.
And that I think is going to be a factor of it as well, is who's going to be noticing it. If we're just going to make up a number, you're on third to last MPO card, third to last, you're in 112th place. You and your two card mates, or your three card mates, I'm sorry, you and two of your card mates are there. You guys are 44 strokes out of first after two rounds. I mean, that's extreme, but you're 44 strokes out of first after two rounds. You're fighting to not finish in last. Are you sitting there watching your watch for your final card mate to show up and then kind of nodding at the starter when it's at 4 minutes? I don't know. Rules are rules and they apply to everybody. I'm not suggesting otherwise. I'm just saying it'll be interesting to see how and when and whom these get enforced.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult to verify that number, because you're right. If this happens on the 23rd card of MPO, is anyone even going to know?
You're suggesting their score is so bad anyway.
Yeah, I'm saying, will we ever hear about it? Will it be posted on social media? Like, you know, again, you take, I don't even have a name of a person, some local pro in Texas, in Houston, doesn't show up 5 minutes because he doesn't maybe necessarily think of the rule.
Sure.
You know, Joe Blow. Is that something we're ever going to hear about? Is that something we're going to,
I want the report. There should be a weekly report generated.
Yeah. And if so, how can we, is it designated anywhere?
It gets added to the end of their round is what I've heard.
Correct. But is there a way I can see that? Like,
I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't think so either. Cause I was going to say, we could look at Holly Finley's rounds and see if there's a way to designate it, but other than probably manually adding them.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Because that was round two that happened.
I don't know if it was round one or two. Yeah, I mean, plus five is plus five of 69 is the next question. No, there it is. Yeah, plus five. Her score says plus five. She shot a 69, which relative to par would be three over.
Correct.
But she's carded for a 59. So there's no way to know that.
Yeah, she's carded as a 71, but she really shot a 69 because the other plus fives are at 71.
Correct.
So there's
your case in point.
So like, there's no way.
Right now, click on her thing. I don't think anything will drop down and probably tell you. Just big showed up late. There's an OB thing on there. It would be nice maybe if there was another little section next to OB that just says penalty stroke assessed.
Yeah.
You know, two penalty strokes assessed.
Like a shameful. And the symbol's a little clock instead of an arrow or something.
Because
I assume it would be scored the same as if there was like a courtesy violation.
Correct.
Or anything like that. So it's
usually that's added to a specific that's not necessarily added to a whole. You could.
It's a great question. Well, it's going to be hard in general. It's going to be hard to determine who's right or wrong, but we'll try to keep track a little bit if we hear of players making that happen. So, I don't know.
Ace Run says, I was there when Holly was called on it. She was just under 30 seconds late. She was walking up the pathway to the tee. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I know we kind of talked about it last week, so we're going to need to beat it to death. But, you know, what constitutes as being there, getting checked in, being there for that time, so on and so forth. And just, again, how rigid is the rule going to be applied? Will it? The starters are likely different at every event. You have your local organizing committee. There's a starter. The question is there a PDGA official or a Pro Tour enabled official that will be at that starting point every single round?
I would guess the starter is maybe
the starter is likely of the local flavor or variety, local organizing committee person, empowered person. But will there be any other official, or whether it's DGPT and or PDGA? I don't know. That's Ace Run then clarified and elaborates and says it was a DGPT official that called her on it. That's what I'm saying. When you're in 112th Is there still going to be a DGPT person standing right there ready? Or is this something that they're going to be there for a few weeks or a few months to kind of enact this rule? And then maybe they're like, okay, people have it. They're getting here on time. We're not going to be standing right here waiting for it.
I don't know. Is it going to be fair if that happens? Do you think players are going to complain?
I'm on a higher card. You cared about me, but you didn't care about the 29th card.
Or even like someone like a Zach Mountain who had happened to earlier in the season. Is he going to be here? And be like, hey, how come there's nobody here? I got busted earlier in the season.
That's what I'm saying. Will somebody at any point, whether it's on the card, be looking at their watch thinking, hey, this should be applied.
I will. I'll stand there and yell it.
Just think of that as your like. You volunteered to go to a tournament just to sit there at the starter's tent and watch the clock. Holly here yet? Okay, she's got 7 seconds.
As she's walking
and
down.
And then she's yelling, I'm here. Like, there's...
Yeah, how close do you have to be to check in? You know, if I'm waving at 30, like, hey, I'm right here. I don't know. I don't know, Terry.
All right. What we do know is it's time to call it. Yeah, all monitor vibes for sure. We'll
maybe,
see how
maybe it, I can get like a Vasteris
sash.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that seems fitting. What would yours say?
Oh, if my job is to bust people for time?
Clock blocker? No. Would you be a clock
blocker? No, I wouldn't be a clock blocker. That'd be kind of yeah. Let's leave it at that, Tara.
All right. Everybody, make sure you wish Johnny V a happy birthday tomorrow, 55 minutes from now, depending on what time zone you're in. We're here in Central, so it's 55 minutes away. But thank you to everyone that joined us tonight. Thanks for coming along for our silly ride. Happy birthday here to Johnny V tomorrow.
Thank you, everybody.
And to my daughter, who may or may not be watching, happy birthday to Mackenzie in a couple days as well. Everyone, be safe. Have fun. Looking forward to calling the shots and checking in with you guys from Austin, Texas, and maybe more importantly, Austin Beer Works. We'll see how that goes. Johnny, I'll have a birthday drink for you tomorrow.
Well, thanks.
That's my promise.
Oh, well, thank
that's
you,
my
Terry.
Promise to you when I'm on the other side of the country. For Johnny V, I'm the Disc Golf Guy. That's 498's After Show. We'll see you next week. You step inside the Smashbox.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.